Welcome to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. This show's mission is to give you the knowledge, tools, and power to achieve success, whether you're starting for a small business right now or you already have one. I'm Jack Mancini, and I'm here with my business partner, Adam Sunhalder.
Each week, we'll be talking business, small business, drawing on our collective experience of having owned and operated 20 small companies and coached and advised for hundreds more. Dirty Secrets of Small Business will debunk the common myths of business ownership, expose the impact of government regulation, share small business success stories, and reveal dirty secrets of small business.
Now, in today's show, we're going to be focusing on four segments. The common myths of small business ownership. We're going to debunk those common myths. The dirty secret of the week. A how come section in which I'm going to ponder the world and ask a question leading with the words how come. And then a small business success story from MVP clients. We have a long list of clients that have been successful in improving their company to take it to places that they never saw possible and basically improving profits, which is the name of the game.
Hey, Jack, you know, most business owners are stuck in a state of how.
Wait a minute.
They have lots of how questions, you know that? They want to know how you make a profit plan or how to present my company or...
You know, you're absolutely right. You know, they're stuck in that state of how, and we answer those states of how questions, which are absolutely infinite in their number. You know, we're business coaches. We've been business coaches, Adam and I, together for over 15 years. We've helped hundreds of small business owners get unstuck from that state of how. And we absolutely love it. We love our clients, and we love doing what we're doing.
If you want to get a hold of us when we're not here in the studio, you can do that by reaching out at 877-849-0670. That's 877-849-0670. Or better yet, you can visit us at MaximumVP.com. You can search for Maximum Value Partners. We're business coaches. That's Jack Mancini over there. I'm Adam Sunhalter here. All right, let's head into our first segment here today, Jack. We got our common myth of the week, and this is one of our goals here is to help to debunk so many myths that are out there in business. And it's things that you hear as an owner that you aren't quite sure if it's true or not, and it's one of those things that, hey, if everybody's saying it, it must be true, but you know what? We're here to tell you differently. And the one we're here to debunk this week is that I can outsource the numbers.
You can outsource the numbers. What does that mean, Adam?
That's a good question. So the numbers, first of all, we're talking about are the financials when it comes to running the business and being able to track what's going on. But the idea of outsourcing it, to me, it almost feels like or sounds like more of an abdication of I want to take those numbers and that idea and just take it and throw it up over top of the wall and let somebody else handle all that stuff. Because I'm too busy doing other things, dealing with trying to get more customers in here or satisfy their demands or dealing with an employee issue over here. I don't have time for or desire to mess with the numbers. I'd like to get that onto somebody else's plate, make it their problem, let them take care of all that stuff and just throw it to them and not have to deal with it myself.
Well, physically you can outsource the numbers. And just like any contracting business out there, you can provide services by basically finding somebody who's expert in that. But really what happens, you know, we know physically you can, but you don't learn the power of running a company by the numbers. It's a huge, huge power. You know, I've owned and operated many companies, and prior to that I had a pretty senior financial position in a big corporation, publicly traded. I cannot imagine running a company for profits and being profitable without having a good feel and sense of those numbers. You don't have to be an accountant, but you certainly have to understand the basic financial statements, the profit and loss, the balance sheet. That's what you're in business for, to make a profit. Why in the world wouldn't you want that scorecard to guide you?
Yeah, Jack and I have a lot of discussions about this over the years. I'm sure you can imagine both he and I are both financially driven, and we understand those numbers pretty well. And we get in a lot of different discussions. You know, Jack's background came up more in the accounting realm, and so he's really big into debits and credits. Or I come at it more from a financial standpoint, and I'm not big in the debits and credits side of things, especially as you mentioned before about not having to become an accountant. That's not what we train our clients to be, but it's helping them to make sense of those numbers so they start to see what's going on as part of those numbers. So If you understand debits and credits, that's great, but you don't necessarily need to understand that as far as what we're talking about. It's really just understanding what's going on. And Jack brings up a good point. We can outsource them to somebody, have somebody else do them, but that doesn't mean you just turn them over to them and assume everything's being done. Or, worse yet, having them just kind of report to you and see what's kind of going on. And there's a couple of reasons for that. There's a lot of things that can go wrong, right? There are a lot of common mishaps that go on when people just kind of outsource or abdicate those numbers, not the least of which is theft.
Okay. I
recall one of our first coaching clients years ago, this is going back almost 15 years ago, they had somebody taking care of the books, and there was a little bit of money that had disappeared. What happened was they thought it was going to pay taxes, and the money was going elsewhere. Or we've had another one, too, where this wasn't a client of ours. This is years ago I met. It was actually with a hair salon, which is very good for the two of us, right, with our nice hairdos, right?
We have good expertise on that area.
Yes, but as I was talking to the owner there, they had three partners, and one of the partner's spouses was taking care of the books. And wouldn't you know it, that partner's spouse was siphoning off some funds because, I mean, everybody trusted him because he was the spouse. I mean, why wouldn't you trust the spouse to take care of things and do things well?
Yes. Well, you know, in my earlier days, it's a little nostalgia here. I was an auditor, and I've personally uncovered many thefts, and really through the years, have developed a sense of people who are taking money. But what always happens is that, geez, I'm so surprised when they find a theft of the company or in the company. I would have never guessed in a million years that Sally would ever take money from us. She was so trusted. She was the nicest woman we ever met.
That's right.
Well, of course, you aren't gonna put a known thief in, you know, covering and guiding and hovering over the family jewels. That's for sure. You aren't gonna do that. So, you need an understanding of accounting and the supporting systems that develop those numbers. That's where you know, the power comes. And what we do we have seven keys to success that we coach small business owners on. And one of them is putting together a profit plan. Again, you're in business to make profits. Doesn't it stand to reason that you're going to have a plan to do that? And that's pushing and rearranging the numbers. And then you present those. And if you can master those are two of the seven keys. If you can master those, you're well on your way to running a company by the numbers, and you're going to find things that you never, ever thought you would find when doing that.
All right. So if you're in the audience going, well, no, theft's not a problem. That's never going to happen to me. Okay. Well, something else
might
happen to you.
Or maybe they're going to say, yeah, hey, I know my numbers.
Right. I got to figure it out. Well, let me give you another mishap that might be going on. How about some missed billings? This happened just last week with one of our clients, and they've got a person who's handling the books for them, and as they continue to grow, he had a sense. You know, Jack mentioned having a sense of what was kind of going on. He started going back and looking at and making sure that with all the new customers that they're bringing on board, that the person taking care of the numbers was making sure to bill things properly. And wouldn't you know it, it couldn't have been an hour after our meeting, he called me. He said, "Hey, I found out that we hadn't billed this customer since October last year. Here we are in July." He said, "That's 23,000 of billings that haven't gone out yet."
Nice. That's right.
So anybody
running
missed $23,000? Right. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So he figured it out. He's okay. Now, and he called me because if he called the person taking care of the books, he would have torn her a new one. He said, I just want to call you to kind of calm down here for a second and kind of talk through it, talk me off the ledge a little bit. So it happens, and he's more on top of his numbers than most. Okay, but it's one of those things that it's not like you do it once and you're good to go, or you get the person there and you just let them go without
verifying
stuff.
No, you need a regular review, a monthly minimum review, but it should be even closer for certain very important numbers. You know, a small business owner thrives on cash. What kind of a program do you have to look at your cash position today and going forward? Is it just, hey, I look at my checkbook, and if we have cash in there, life is good? You know, surprisingly, a lot of small business owners run their company like that. It's amazing how in the world you can't plan your cash, you can't plan your profits.
So, so if you don't think theft's an issue or misbilling's an issue, how about this last one, Jack? And that is that if you're outsourcing it, that means that nobody in the company owns the numbers. We have another client of ours who's growing very, very quickly. They're about 6 years into business. They've been adding locations and growing very, very quickly. The owner's very aggressive in pushing things along, had some relatives in the business trying to look at stuff. They had an outside firm that's supposed to be doing this stuff. All of a sudden, they're pointing fingers at each other. Nobody owns it.
Very normal for a situation like that.
And so the numbers are an absolute mess. Yet, you keep pointing fingers in different directions. You're not sure who to go after. So how do you get those things there if you don't know who owns those things internally? So it's got to be somebody has to own that. And so maybe it's not you as the owner, but somebody internally has got to own these things because
that
they're your numbers.
That is right. And so often that is not the case. So we have to not only encourage that, but almost demand it, that you cannot just push your numbers away. Too important to do that.
All right. So that's our myth this week that we wanted to debunk, which is that I can outsource the numbers. If you're going to do that, you got to make sure that if somebody else is doing it, you need to pay attention to it. You got to own them. Somebody internally still has to own those numbers that you can point the finger to or make sure you know what's going on, that things are being, to trust but verify, that great old saying, to trust things are being done right, but to verify that things are being done right, and to understand and know your numbers well enough to see what's kind of going on. So,
Very well said, Adam.
Keep that in mind this week. All right. Stick around. When we come back, we're going to be revealing our dirty secret of the week.
Can't wait.
That's right. I'm Adam Sonhalter.
And I'm Jack Mancini with Maximum Value Partners. We're business coaches. We can help you get unstuck from those how questions in your business.
How sweet it is to be loved by you.
Welcome back to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. I'm Adam Sonhalter.
And I'm Jack Mancini with Maximum Value Partners, MVP. We're business coaches who help owners of small companies get unstuck from the state of how. Don't you wrestle with all those how questions on your own. We can help. Give us a call. Give us a call anytime. We love helping small business owners get unstuck, and we do a great job of it, and we have fun doing it.
Sorry, if you want to give us a call, we're not here in the studio. The number to get us at is 877-849-0670, and you can check us out online at MaximumVP.com. All right, so our dirty secret of this week, this one's, I think, pretty good, especially kind of where today's world is, and that is that you do not need to make most decisions immediately.
Boy, that's so true, Adam. And we have lots of backup to support the fact of somebody driving hard to make a fast decision. And in this unscientific survey, probably 8 out of 10 of those work against them in the intermediate run within a month or two.
That's right. This is an unscientific survey, but it's based on not only our collective 15 years together coaching hundreds and hundreds of small companies and all the situations that are involved there, which are thousands of them, but also our collective experience before that. And as I mentioned, today's world, we're constantly connected. And you all see it, whether it be somebody walking down the road, looking at their smartphone, typing away. They could be driving, even with all the regulations on driving these days and using the phones, people are doing stuff there. People at restaurants, you take a look around. How often do you see 3-4 people sitting in a restaurant together, table together, and they're not looking or talking to each other? But they're all staring at their phones.
That's the norm. It's a strange cultural change, isn't it, to see that? You know, we're talking about decisions that are made quickly. Probably the only decision that has to be made quickly if the building's on fire and it's starting to move towards you. Everything else can wait.
You shouldn't wait on that one, huh?
You should, I think, move out real quick.
Okay.
But other than that, it can wait. You know, it's going to be rare that you have the opportunity of a lifetime that, by God, if you don't move within the next 10 minutes, half hour, you're going to lose it. Not that it doesn't happen, but if I were a gambling man, and I'm known to be a gambling man a little bit, I would say those situations I'd pass on a quick decision almost all the time. In fact, almost it's every time. And if I lose, I lose. I'm going to lose the other way, known way more times by making a fast decision.
No, that's a great point, Jack. I mean, most decisions, we encourage our clients and remind them of this constantly, which is most decisions can wait 24 hours.
That's
most
right.
Things, and most of them, they smile and nod. So, yeah, I agree. I know that. But it's a matter of kind of putting it into place because again, being constantly connected, they often feel the pressure of having to always be on call, whether it be for customers, for employees, wherever, that they always got to be on call, always got to be on their game. That's tiring. That could be exhausting.
Oh, the
turn off email, the turn off text. I remember years ago, I was taking one of our vendors, who's a insurance company, through his disk report, right? And
wait a minute, disk.
Disk. Yeah, it's one
back,
of our seven.
You have a back problem with.
No, it's one of our seven keys in terms of leadership. Disk is a behavior assessment that we use. And part of what was in his style for his natural behavior style was this need to kind of respond, you know, quickly to people. And he said, I always have my computer screen is on, and my email is always up. All right. And I said, okay. I said, well, why don't you make a rule that you only respond to email once in the morning, once during the day, and once in the evening? He said, that's a great idea. So we got done with our phone call, Jack. I sent him a note, say, hey, thanks for the time today. It was great talking to you, right? Guess what happened?
You got an email.
I got an email back in 30 seconds. I said, what are you doing? I said, we just talked about.
They can't change.
Right, you can't help themselves, right?
It's an addiction.
So you have that pressure as an owner, you feel that. But one of the things we make our clients aware of, we're going through this right now with one of our beloved and long-term clients who has all kinds of ideas. I know if you're an owner out there, you can relate to this. You have ideas at all times of the day, all hours of the day. And you get excited about it. And you want to let people know about it. Well, when you have 16 ideas from Friday night to Sunday morning to Monday morning, and you're often they're in different parts and places, or it's a Wednesday afternoon, whatever it might be, it can be a tremendous imposition on your team, on your people, versus let the idea percolate a little bit.
Sure, it can always wait, especially those weekend epiphanies that you hit. They can always wait, and it does. It puts a tremendous burden on your employees. You're the boss. You got to get in touch with your own power with your company. You are the main man or woman who is looked to for all the answers and can make or break careers in that little company. So when you send an email or you just drop an idea on somebody, they're going to respond to it, and that's going to take a priority. And if you're just throwing out ideas left and right as they come to you, because sometimes those days do happen and you're just full of energy and ideas, everyone who's working for you getting those is going to reprioritize their workflow. And what happens is that they literally don't get things done that they should be getting done. Yeah. You can have a negative impact. And whenever we point that out to these owners, it's like, really? You know, they're totally, totally out of touch with that.
Right.
But yet, you know, if you're on the other side, if you aren't the owner, if you're an employee, you know exactly what I'm talking about. With the boss firing left and right emails and ideas and do this, it just dead wrong. Step back, slow down, and take it easy.
Yeah, it's not their intention at all to be able to kind of do that, you know. And as hard as this might be to hear, not all ideas are great ideas.
Boy, that's for sure.
That's why letting
them
percolate.
Most aren't.
Yeah, letting them percolate
the
for a little bit, or they aren't disconnected from other ideas you had. So picture taking the instead of calling or emailing people, just write these ideas down. Put an idea list somewhere. Put them down. Let them sit for a day or two. It starts to kind of come together a little bit, or maybe it disappears and works itself out where it's not a great idea, and you aren't wasting people's time or energy or again, being very demotivating to them versus getting them all excited about what's going on.
You know, we have, as business coaches, we have solutions to all these problems, all these how questions for sure, but all these operational problems that come up because we've seen them so much in our life, in our business world. And, you know, those kinds of quick decision problems must wait. They really do. And we have problems convincing our owners to break that habit and show the devastation, literally, that it can have on your company.
Well, I think one of the biggest places, Jack, we see it is when it comes to hiring. Right, the old adage of slow to hire, quick to fire. I think most owners feel the need to make sure that they hire very quickly, right? We had a discussion with a former client just a couple weeks ago, and the whole time was about a guy that he decided to bring in very quickly. And now he's been with them for 16, 18 months, and mm-hmm. has been complaining about the guy since he brought him on board. And instead of just waiting.
So we would have, had we waited and vetted properly, we would probably not have that problem today. In fact, I'd guarantee we wouldn't have that
problem.
Because
he hired him too soon. He wasn't ready for him yet. That's often what happens, too. You start to hire people before you're ready, and we have that with a lot of folks where they'll just go and make a decision and says, hey, let's figure out when the timing is right to bring this person on board.
That's right. You know, any quick decision usually is going to be a bad decision. So if you can embed that in your mind, hey, you're going to improve the operation just by doing that one fact alone. And if you don't think that's a problem, you know, well, you should have a talk with us, because we'll show you that it probably is a problem, especially if you're one prone to fire out emails.
It gives you a chance to be a little bit less emotional with things too and take a step back, right? So keep those things in mind. You don't need to make most decisions immediately, like Jack said, short of the building burning down. Take a little time. So feel free to shut the email down, turn the phone off, or the text off, put it aside. Don't respond to stuff. Don't feel that need to respond to things constantly or to be the one pushing things out there constantly.
That's
to your
right.
team.
See what happens. The world isn't going to collapse.
All right. So stick with us when we come back. On the other side, we're going to be jumping into the how come portion of our segment or of our show here. I'm Adam Sonhalter.
And I'm Jack Mancini with Maximum Value Partners. We're business coaches, as we've been saying. We can help you get unstuck from all those how questions in your business.
Welcome back. Dirty Secrets of Small Business. I'm Adam Sonhalter.
And I'm Jack Mancini with Maximum Value Partners, MVP. We're business coaches who help owners of small companies get unstuck from the state of how. Don't you wrestle with all those how questions on your own. We can help. We love helping small business owners get unstuck. If you're a small business owner, give us a call this afternoon. Something's bugging you. I know it is. Give us a call. We could talk it through and probably help you have a great day.
That's right. You can reach us anytime at 877-849-0670. Our website's MaximumVP.com. You can email us at radio@MaximumVP.com. That way we know you're listening to our show.
Very good.
So this is the portion where we get into Jack's mind as far as the how come piece of it. And I was thinking about you over the weekend, Jack, because I was watching one of my favorite baseball movies, Bull Durham, with my 13-year-old son.
Oh, yeah. One of the
and,
classics.
There was a scene towards the end of the movie with Kevin Costner and Susan Sarandon, and they're sitting around having breakfast, and I forget who she said she was, but Susan Sarandon was talking about her former life. Hey, I must have been this or been that. And Kevin Costner's character, deadpan, says, how come in our former lives we were always somebody famous? How come we weren't just like Joe Schmo, right? And she started laughing, right? That's a great question,
is.
Right?
That
so I was thinking about
it.
I said, how come? I said, there's how come questions all over the place, Jack. So I was thinking about that question this weekend. It's a good one to ponder for
Everywhere you go, every moment you're awake. And even in fact, sometimes in your dreams, but every waking moment. Now, there was one that was really bugging me. And this is a question that many people, when they think about it, can relate to. Well, I don't know about relating. They can certainly understand it. How come Tarzan doesn't have a beard? Ponder that one, Adam. Why doesn't he have a beard? Bugs me.
Is there a natural waxing that goes on out in the jungle? Or
that shaving commercial that's going on that they get to him way back when? Yes, natural waxing? I don't know. But I would think a guy like that would have a beard, that's for sure. But that really wasn't the thing that was vexing me the most. But it did come across my mind, that steady stream of how comes. So how come? This is the real one. How come the things that make you happy don't make everybody happy? Now, we got to ponder that one a little bit. Now, a couple of quick answers. You know, people, different points of life or in life, you know, be it age, be it health, be it financial, be it whatever. That's one reason. They may not be happy when you're happy at the moment. And the cycles kind of go counter to, it's rare that you're going to get in cycle with somebody who's happy all the time with the same things that make you happy. You're going to have mental makeups. You know, you're going to have beliefs that are different, be it religious or otherwise or political. All the things that can make you happy. There's an election always coming up, and if your candidate wins, you're going to be happy. Well, maybe your best friend is going to be. Well, chances are he or she isn't your best friend if they're going to be totally upset with your candidate. But chances are, you know, the many things that make you. Exhilaration, you know, with exhilaration, you're kind of bugging people and you're happy. You look at the crowd and they all aren't there. Why is that, Adam? What kind of comes to your mind?
That's a great question. Well, when you're talking about this as it relates to from a business standpoint, I try to think about the fact that we talk about this a lot with our clients. It's if you get a big new customer on board or a big new project on board, and often it's something that you've spent months or years, digging that well, making those things start to happen, laying all those seeds out there to make this thing start to happen. It finally comes to fruition. And man, are you excited about it, right? You're like, finally, it's here. And you go and you present it to your team and
they just stare at you. They go, oh man,
there's more work to do, right? It's all the wrong reactions, right? And those are often the phone calls that Jack and I get in between our meetings.
We'll get that at day. I just had a meeting with my group, and I presented everything. Remember, guys, when we were talking about this, and what a great achievement. And I told everybody, and they just stared back at me.
Right.
Now, wait a minute. What happened?
Right. Well, they'll often call us for that high five moment because they know that we'll celebrate with them because we know what it took to kind of make that thing start to happen. The achievement that happens, that doesn't happen just by dumb luck.
That's right. The big lesson here is that you have to be aware of that when you're happy or one of your employees comes in. It may not be with the company, something personal in their life. All of a sudden, there's a big celebration and they're just up on cloud nine. You should recognize that. Give them a pat on the back. Share that moment. We often have to tell our clients to feel good. Sometimes they get so immersed in the day-to-day operations, day after day, month after month, that all of a sudden something really noteworthy of celebration kind of passes. Say, hey, wait a minute. Hey, Adam, you realize what happened here? What? You just achieved blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah is one heck of an achievement. And everyone should celebrate that. So how do you as an owner partake in it? How do you embed those thoughts into your employees? How do you get them pumped up? Well, and first thing is being aware that this exists.
I was going to say, we fielded questions so many times, Jack. I mean, a lot of our clients, we get them focused on, they are focused on trying to make profits because they want the company to be able to do well. And many times they sense that their employees, their team, are motivated tremendously by money. Whether it be their base salaries or bonuses or what have you, or and sharing in some profits at the company. And they're always a bit tweaked when they find out that not everybody's kind of wired that way. That, in fact, somebody would really welcome just a more regular basis being recognized for something or a pat in the back and, hey, say thanks for your help kind of thing, right?
Pat in the back in front of the group and an extra, maybe an extra day off.
Absolutely.
Or work at home a little bit. These things, they're more and more becoming prevalent in the workplace today, and I think rightfully so. I think it's just good practice. I remember years ago when I was a VP, I could kind of take off and go. I had my long weeks, but my day wasn't structured between 9 and 5. So if I had a golf match or something going on, I could, kind of take off. Well, everybody wanted to do that. Everybody likes to be able to do that. Everyone likes the freedom of having, in many cases, a job with flexibility.
Right.
And that's terrific, I mean, it what makes people happy is different. That's the main thing. And there are good events that come around in everyone's lives that can be celebrated. Can be overdone too, but for the most part, I don't think there's too much fear of over-celebration. Not in a small workplace environment. That's the way it seems now anyway.
Your point about being aware, it's a big deal. I think, being in touch with your team or having, we often talk about having moles in the organization. Those are folks that will get good information for you. To your point, often it's not as obvious that a message is not received in the way you'd like to be received, but you have the people that are in there that are feeding you good information. Say, hey, by the way, I know you had the right idea in mind when you wanted to do X or Y, but it kind of missed the mark this time, Jack. It wasn't quite received the way you're hoping for it to be received. Or here's the scuttlebutt kind of going on right now as far as where people are kind of frustrated or having challenges with as far as what's going on.
Oh, that's so important to have that, because you're walking around fat, dumb, and happy with a big smile on your face, and 20, 30, 50% of your employees are kind of grumbling, like, hey, what's wrong with that guy? There's a big disconnect when happiness isn't at least acknowledged in your mind here. because it does vary considerably.
No, and the owners often say very, you know, rightly, say, well, you know, we talk about being very approachable, and I have my office is open. They come talk to me anytime that they want, and we say, well, you got to realize the power that you have as the owner. You know, at the end of the day, you're signing paychecks. You know, you're doing certain things, and what you say goes a long way. So it takes a lot for somebody to kind of come in and truly, if it is a complaint or a dissatisfaction that they have, to come in and be able to express it. So having those moles and those key people in the organization that help keep a good pulse on what's going on, because it's so hard to do as the owner to keep that pulse on what's kind of going on. That's very accurate to what's really kind of going on.
That's right. You know, we use a behavioral assessment tool that talks about and actually assesses and depicts what different styles each employee, especially key employees, have. So some people are very demanding and outgoing, and others are extremely quiet and reserved, and there's many, many in between those two ranges. So if you have an employee who's very quiet and reserved, it's very difficult to read that person. So they might be totally happy in their world. Something just great happened, and they're looking stone-faced. They're not acknowledging it, and it looks like any other day of, okay, well, hey, Adam, how you doing? Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and that's it. Well, Adam had some great event happen to him, and no one knows about it, you know?
That's right.
Whereas somebody else in another style, there's only four styles that people are pushed into, and this assessment is called DISC, D-I-S-C. Excellent, excellent tool.
Well, you mentioned that, Jack. We had a client that was complaining around Christmas time last year. They always, you know, as the company's grown, they always done a Christmas party with spouses involved, right? And as they continue to grow, they grew from 5 employees and now up to, I think, pushing 35 employees and getting to be a pretty big event. And this is the first year he got some pushback. Hey, so-and-so doesn't want to go to that dinner. Doesn't want to bring his or her spouse along, right? And the owner's like, what's wrong with these people? We're going to a very nice restaurant, do this. It's all in the company. Well, what?
Shouldn't you be,
people would rather just have a gift card or something like that, right?
Shouldn't you be happy at Christmas time? We're going to have a festive party.
Right, what's wrong with these people,
right?
The
strain and stress of that is one of the biggest issues that most people never talk about because the boss is all pumped up.
Well, so, of course, and this guy being a very outgoing guy, he was very pumped up in being around people, whereas most of his people weren't. So we had to remind him of that piece of it, so...
Good. Watch Christmas parties. That was a big message.
So good question. Good question today, Jack. All right. So stick with us when we come back. We're going to be sharing our small business success story of this week. I'm Adam Sonhalter.
And I'm Jack Mancini with Maximum Value Partners. As we said, we're business coaches. We can help you get unstuck from all those how questions in your business. Give us a call.
Secrets of Small Business. I'm Adam Sonhalter.
And I'm Jack Mancini with Maximum Value Partners, MVP. We're business coaches who help owners of small companies get unstuck from the state of how. Don't you wrestle with all those how questions on your own. We can help. We've helped many and we could help you. We love helping small business owners get unstuck.
That's right. And you can feel free to reach out to us anytime, day or night, 877-849-0670. You can check out our website at MaximumVP.com and feel free to email us at radio@MaximumVP.com. That way we'll know you're a loyal listener of the show. All right. So we're at the point in our segment now where we're going to talk about a small business success story and then sharing one of our client success stories here as part of our business coaching firm, Maximum Value Partners,
Jack and I have been with. Do all these people know what we call a small business?
That's what I was going to say, Jack.
Okay.
Read my mind. So you've been together 15 years like this, it's amazing how you finish each other's sentences, right? Or cut each other off without having to worry about it.
Either way.
So
equal weight on both of them.
We talk about small. A small business for us we define as anywhere between 1 to 25 employees. And as we've referenced throughout our show, and if you've listened to past shows, we have what we call our 7 keys to success that we coach our clients on. And part of what I like to highlight during our success story here is I like to talk about which of those keys that were very, very helpful with this. And so
like those 1 to 25, they can be in any industry, any. It could be retail, it could be IT, it could be a law firm, it doesn't make any difference. The problems you have in small businesses, surprisingly, are the same problems other small businesses have. That's why we're able to spot and throw out good advice, good solutions to the problems. Give us a call. Yeah, but go on. I'm sorry. Yeah.
So the two keys here that were very helpful were the organization chart, which is number 4 on our 7 keys, as well as leadership, which is number 5. And if you take a look at our website, MaximumVP.com, there's a link there for or a drop-down menu for the MVP playbook. And you'll see a nice little visual graphic of the 7 keys. You can follow along if you want. But let me paint the picture for you a little bit, real quick. So the situation was, this has been a very, very long-term client of ours, by the way, several years. And when we first met with them, the issue was they had a bunch of employees, maybe a handful. Okay, they had 5 employees. But they were all very, very young and very inexperienced. And quite honestly, they weren't really helping the owners a lot. Right? So here they are paying people, but not getting a bunch of value from them.
I remember that one very well.
So the challenge was to try to get better people involved, to get people kind of going, but also to kind of grow some of those folks. And so a couple things happened early on is they had some people on board, and they tried some internal promotions. And a couple of those didn't really work out very well, right? And so one was a team leader, and he'd done well in terms of being part of the team, and he got promoted to kind of that team leader status. And we've mentioned a little bit earlier here in the show today about this behavior assessment of DISC, D-I-S-C. And one of the owners in this case was a pretty strong D. You know, these Ds, people often call them lots of other colorful names, but we go with D because that's more fun to talk about. But Ds tend to be very driving, dominant, demanding types.
You know the type out there. I know you do.
Yeah, you've seen them. And so one of our owners was that way. And so with this one person who got promoted, you know, he was in a role where he was kind of the buffer between the team and this owner who was pretty tough to deal with. So the team absolutely loved him. Now, this team would have loved a puppy dog or anything else that was in between them and this owner, right? Not that this owner was a tyrant or anything like that, but just, again, Ds can be kind of tough. So especially for folks who are the opposing style, which a lot of these folks were, which are Ss. So they loved this guy being there, right? No matter what, no matter how he was doing or what he was doing, the fact that he was there to kind of provide interference and protection for them.
It's a good way to put it, because that's how it was. Right?
So we get a call from the D, one of the owners, this one day, and basically what happened was this guy came in and she challenged him. Said, "Here's where we're trying to go with the company." And he said, "I don't think I'm the guy to take you there." He says, "I'm not sure how to interpret that." I said, "Well, to us it sounds like the guy quit on you." She goes, "That's what I was thinking." So, okay, if he doesn't believe he's the guy to get you there, you know that's where you want to go. So the guy left. So she explains this to the team very clearly. Here's what happened. And, laid out kind of what he said. And wouldn't you know it, the team was totally pissed off, upset, in snits. They wanted to say goodbye to this guy. Wanted to take him to lunch. They were upset for years.
Years. Years. That's important.
About
years.
This. And
now, why is it the year? Well, go on. We won't get into
it. So it was very, very tough for us. That one didn't work out very well. They had another person internally who was very well loved in the industry, known by a couple of their good clients pretty well, but really more of a doer versus a leader, and had gotten promoted up into a leadership role. And very quickly realized that wasn't going to work. Quickly, I mean within the first probably 5 or 6 months. And so as they were reshuffling the organization, they created a different role for her. And no matter what they said or how they presented it, they kept being viewed as being demoted. Now, the person who was being quote-unquote demoted bought into it and realized why this was a better fit for what the organization needed and given her skill set. But, again, the team still talks about when so-and-so got demoted. Years later, it's still there. Right?
That's amazing, isn't it?
So
human behavior really becomes predictable, and because it is predictable. That's why it becomes predictable.
So I want to share this couple of examples, because I know that our listening audience, Jack, can relate to this, where they've had people. And it's often as the owner, you're sitting there looking at your people. And one of the big distinctions we make and help our clients try to make, and we find to be very helpful for them, is to look at a functional org chart of what duties are being done within the organization, ignoring who the people are for right now. Just put those duties that are down.
I wonder if everyone out there knows what an org chart is that you're talking about. I mean, it seems simple, but maybe a lot of people haven't experienced that org chart.
So it shows the reporting relationships within different departments of the organization, who's doing what, how do they work their way up, starting with the CEO at the top,
big
key
page
people,
of boxes.
Yeah,
big
people,
bunch
people,
of boxes.
People in charge of the product or service, the marketing and sales, the numbers, the people side of stuff. The people are in charge of different things.
I'm going to bet further. I'll bet you most small business owners don't do that.
Probably
don't.
They may have something in their mind. But usually what they're doing, they're not thinking in terms of that functional chart. They're thinking in terms of the bodies they've got in place right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what this client was doing. So, hey, well, we have a need now in terms of our functional org chart. So they started to stuff people in there. Well, I've got my current people here, so I'm going to put them into that role and see how they do. They're doing well over here. Let me try to put them over there. And I know most owners can probably relate to that, where they've taken somebody and they thought this person was going to be good and they could get them up and promote them or put them in a different position. And unfortunately, that person disappointed them or didn't. It wasn't the right person for that role. Versus what we got this client to start to do is to look outside. And to look outside to the point where they're having trouble finding people, and they wind up engaging with an executive search firm to find some of their key people. And it took them a little while. And they were very diligent about it. And one of the key roles, and this is stuff you can't make up, folks, they had a very good candidate for the one role in terms of being kind of heading up their product or service. And the guy was on board for about, I think it was 6 weeks, and he died on him.
Isn't that something?
He died on him. He was the right guy, and it's can you imagine they finally got him on board, and all of a sudden
that's not a common event. We don't have a lot of experience in that one.
No,
but was that
but
one,
it happens.
Yes.
It happens, right? And so, but it took them a good 7 years now. They've been kind of grinding this thing out to get better and better people on board, more experienced people on board, and they're finally at the point now where they have 5 key senior executives on staff. And the owners are now working through that staff. And we're excited about the next several months with this client, because we're starting to see our clients continue to grow too as they grow into that CEO executive role, to now not being diving down deep into all the details and usurping the power of their key executives. But they finally have them on board. Let's see what these folks can do.
That's such a big event. It seemed to take forever, but it often does take years. Our best clients have been with us for years because we create a stairway to success. And they keep walking up those stairs as they get better. And those kind of moments that Adam's talking about give us, honest to God, as corny as it sounds, we get teary-eyed with them when we celebrate and say, do you realize back when, several years ago, when we started talking to you, you were here, you were talking this way, we had to almost argue with you to kind of impart the vision and the steps to get there. Now here you are. And by God, you know, it's a great, great feeling. It really is. And that's a good example. That's probably our longest client who's been with us forever, it seems.
That's right. Keep grinding at it. The message here today is don't settle on the wrong people. Don't give up hope. And stop doing it all yourself. And make sure you rely on them to get stuff done. So we want to thank you for joining us again today on this week's edition of Dirty Secrets of Small Business. We invite you to tune in every Monday at noon. If you have any questions before our next show, you can email them at radio@maximumvp.com. Post at facebook.com/MaximumVP or give us a call at 877-849-0670.
At Maximum Value Partners, we work hard to build long-term relationships and become not only your valued advisors, but also your trusted friends. If you're looking to be successful, knowledgeable, a business owner who wants those to take your company anywhere you want to go, we can help.
If you missed a part of this show or any other show, feel free to go visit the WINTradio.com archive programs, or you can get us on iTunes and get the podcast there. You can listen on your mobile device at tunein.com as well.